Every operation is unique. And so there are the basic principles that we're going to apply, but they'll look different for different operations and different people.
Knowledge for Resilience, a cross-commodity podcast brought to you jointly by the Peace River Forage Association, the Peace Region Forage Seed Association, the BC Grain Producers Association, and the Northern Cohort. Welcome to episode 17. I'm your host, Nadia Mori. Today's chat is with Kelly Sidorek, a long-term rancher and holistic management practitioner. Whether you've heard about holistic management in passing or are a long-term practitioner, Kelly will demystify what holistic management is all about, discuss what you might expect when you attend a course, and why it might be the perfect opportunity for somebody who likes to procrastinate on farm planning. Kelly has been involved with holistic management for close to 25 years. She became an HMI certified educator in the late 1980s and has taught a number of courses and has worked with many family producers and management groups. One area of particular focus for Kelly has been the human piece, particularly as it comes to succession planning. Kelly and her husband Mike live near Lloydminster, where they operate their family-run ranch. Without further ado, let's dive in head first. Today, I get to talk to Kelly Sidorek. Hi to the podcast, Kelly.
Hello.
To get us started, why don't you share a bit about your background, how you got into the ranching world, and where you're located these days?
Well, these days, I'm located at Lloydminster, and people always ask, am I on the Alberta side or the Saskatchewan? Well, we're just barely on the Alberta side, but we also do have an operation further east in Saskatchewan. So we have basically two operations, and we run a mixed beef operation. And by mixed, I mean, we have a few different enterprises. We have our own cow-calf herd and our own yearling herd, but we also do custom grazing as well. So that will depend. It'll vary a bit from year to year, whether we're having yearlings or cow-calf. And we just do some analysis to see what works best for that. I started out in this, grew up in the livestock business, and many years ago I'd actually moved away and was pursuing ag journalism career. Hadn't really necessarily intended to come back to the operation, and about that time our family learned of holistic management and Alan Savory. My parents had been down in the States at workshop courses, continuing ed type stuff, when we first discovered it. And we had had an intensive livestock operation, and at that point in time, lots of challenges, and we were thinking there might be some different ways of doing things. So at that point in time, I came home, and I also started pursuing certification in, at that point in time, it was known as holistic resource management. And one of the things that I often share that really drew me to it was, of course, they talked about the land and the livestock. They also talked about the finances, which I felt was important. But for the first time, I was in an agriculture setting where they were also talking about the people. And I'm really passionate about leadership and personal growth and succession planning. And to find a decision-making framework that tied all of those together was really a game changer, I guess you could say. I was just sharing at a workshop the other day, you know, you quite often now hear a reference made to the triple bottom line, you know, the environment, economics, and social side of things. And I'm pleased to say that in holistic management, we've been talking about that for over 30 years. So then that happened, and I had came home and got involved in the operation with my parents. My brother soon followed. We made some major transitions. We seeded a lot of forage. We built a lot of fence. And here we are many years later, and my kids, our kids are getting ready to be involved. They are in various degrees, and just trying to look at new things and be open-minded, continuous learners. And certainly there's been some trials and tribulations along the way. I won't deny that, but there's also been a lot of really great successes and have had the opportunity to work with and meet with some amazing people. Nadia, you're one of them, you know, that I've met in this community. So that's just a real high level how we got involved. And, you know, my dad used to say that the only thing is constant is change. And we still feel like that's even happening more and more so all the time. You know, one of the premises or attributes of holistic management is also the idea that every operation is unique. And so there are the basic principles that we're going to apply, but they'll look different for different operations and different people. So that's exciting to help people do that. And then along the way, I did become certified. And so I'm also an educator and facilitator. And I've had the pleasure of being on the Holistic Management International Board for a number of years, too, where I get to rub shoulders and work with some really great people.
Excellent overview of your history. And it sounds like, from hearing your picture being painted, that you came across holistic management quite early in your life, which probably is a good perspective for somebody who maybe is just getting to it now or is new to the concept, to understand that you've been at this for quite some time.
Quite some time, that's for sure. I don't know if you're familiar with Simon Sinek. He's a leadership human behavior type fellow, and he talks about the bell curve with, I think he's actually applying it to marketing, but you know, at the very beginning, there's the innovators, and then there's the early adopters, and then it starts to go up the curve, and it's the majority, I think. I might have the terminology wrong there, but for a long time, I think we were in the flatline, small amount innovators, and I'm really happy to see that we're moving up the bell curve, and there's getting to be more and more people all the time that, even if they aren't familiar with holistic management per se, I think they're like-minded in the way they're looking at their operations.
Let's dive a little bit further into what holistic management actually is. You kind of alluded for it being a decision-making tool, but there's a lot more to it than that.
Yes, for sure. So it is a decision-making tool that is really driven by the values and the goals of the people in the operation. And, you know, we mostly focus on agriculture businesses, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, the principles apply no matter what type of operation you're in, and really trying to determine in a shared way with you and your team about what we are really trying to achieve. And again, keeping in mind, we're considering the land and the livestock or the natural resources, our finances, as well as our people side of things. So we work on creating a holistic goal or context that as many people as possible have had input in, and really creating what that is. What is the North Star? Why are we doing this, and what are we trying to move towards? And then along with that, we have the testing questions that help us in our decision making, and some pretty comprehensive planning processes. One of them is for the financial piece of it, where we really take the approach of planning a profit. We look at our different types of enterprises and do some analysis that way. We also look at making annual projections and monitoring that so that we can be certain that we're on track. We do a similar thing with our land planning and trying to map out what we want our farm or ranch operation to look like, and as well as with the grazing planning or the cropping component of it. And as we were talking a little bit before, you know, there's a lot of interest in planned grazing, and that is a big piece of what our operation has been doing as forage-based. And then along with that, different management guidelines, and then creating that feedback loop of some kind to make sure that we know when we're off track. Because, you know, let's face it, sometimes we will be off track.
You also touched on that every operation is unique. And maybe sometimes when we hear about a program or a system or an approach, we might think, well, you know, that works down in the South. That's fine for, or that's fine for people over in Saskatchewan, but it will never work in BC. But it's really tailored that to your own operation, and you adapt it to your unique situation.
Absolutely. And, you know, the principles and practices take that into account. We consider our environment and whereabouts we are on a certain scale, recognizing that some of the tools will respond differently. But, you know, really, I think it's important to note that holistic management is being practiced all over the world. So yes, you know, if you're in Mississippi, where there's lots of rain and ideal grass growing conditions, it's going to look quite different than those that are ranching in Arizona, just to use two U.S. examples. But there really is people all over the world. South Africa, that's where Alan Savory first came from. So there's application there. And in Australia, New Zealand, of course, Canada, there's quite a significant amount, as well as different spots in the UK and Europe.
Yeah, very good reminder. It's definitely international. And you were part of the international group, or you are still part of the international group, right?
Yes, I am. So the board has representation from the US, Canada, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Mexico. I think that's where the majority of board members right now are, but we're quite mindful of making sure there's representation from all different regions and areas.
Now, we have a course coming up here in the Peace Region for Peace Region producers who might be interested. And I was hoping you could maybe share a bit more about what that course might look like, kind of what a person might expect when they sign up to a course, which is a bit of a commitment, but once you're in it, I think it'll make sense why it is a bit of a time commitment.
Oh, absolutely. And it is one of those challenging questions that we always have to try to really impart the value of reserving those 6 days, you know, whether it's set up in 2-3 day sessions. But, you know, it's definitely part of your continued learning and professional development as a producer. But also, you will have the opportunity to actually work on your own planning for the next year. We won't necessarily be able to get it all the way through, but we do spend a lot of time on starting draft plans for your goals, for your financial planning, for your grazing or cropping planning. So I guess one of the other things I want to say about the course is we've really tried to adopt some of the principles of adult learning. And what are the most effective ways for that? So first of all, just coming and listening to me share a bunch of theory isn't the best way to spend 6 days. So we do have some of that, but we also have a lot of group interaction and participation. So it's really, I always say that, you know, I have some knowledge and experience, but within the room of students and fellow learners, there's just a wealth of experience and knowledge. And we do try to create a lot of situations throughout the 6 days where we're sharing knowledge, brainstorming, you know, as well as building a team that can go on, or a group to continue supporting people as they manage and adapt to some change and differences that we're making. You know, I will say that a big part of it is on the leadership component, if you want to call it that, where we spend some time drafting that three-part goal and or context and thinking about, you know, what is it, what quality of life are we looking for, you know, and then what sort of systems and behaviors do we need to have to achieve that, and then thinking about long into the future, what does our resource space look like? So we go through some interactive exercises to help us along the way of that. And then, like I say, diving into the financial end of it, where we're working on planning a profit, we're looking at our different types of expenses and putting together a cash flow. And then, you know, looking at the land map of our operation and thinking of some desired future possibilities there, how we might go about it. And then with the grazing and the cropping plan as well. And hopefully we also have some fun.
Exactly. That's important too, right? It sounds like a lot that's going to be covered, especially on the financial side of things. But at the same time, that is so important, right? Most producers are extremely passionate about what they do and why they do it. But at the end of the day, we also got to get paid for our work so we can keep doing it still tomorrow and into the future.
Absolutely. Yes.
Now, it sounds to me, when I kind of listen to your description, that the person it would probably be really well suited for is probably the person who is already extremely strapped for time because everything is kind of happening and barreling down on you. But to carve out that time of 6 days to plan ahead, to have a bit more of a system, that then maybe there is a bit more time also for life and family to happen.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that it is valuable thinking ahead that, you know, there's so many of these things that I'll say when I introduce them that everybody knows we should be spending more time on financial projections, you know, that we should be doing our cash flow or enterprise analysis. We should be planning our pasture moves ahead of time or cropping strategies. But that's one of the beauties of this is that you've committed to come and learn, but you're also going to be doing your own planning and helping. We talk about time management too and prioritizing things so that we can figure out ways to actually get to the outcomes we want. So it isn't such a feeling of the farm running you instead of you running the farm.
And it sounds like it's also for somebody who you have the good intention of doing it to sit down and do your planning, but it just never gets to that point. So when you have a structured course coming up and you just have to go there and you have to be there and you got to sit down with your paper and pen or laptop and fingers and get started.
For sure, there is some accountability built into it. And it's the perfect time, too, because the winter is the best time for us to do our planning for the next growing season, because everybody in agriculture and on the land knows how we have some really amazing growing seasons, but it makes for very, very busy times. And taking the time when it's colder to sit and reflect and really think about what we're working towards is a good way to approach it.
When you look at sort of the courses you've done and the courses you're doing, what's sort of the age group composition that's coming to a course? Is a person ever too young or too old to attend?
Absolutely not. Honestly, I mean, we've had babies come to grandparents, right? It's the whole gamut. One of the points that I must stress is that the way it's set up is the fee is for a farm unit, and we really encourage people to bring, you know, spouses especially, you know, bring your spouse, even if they're not super active in the operation, and any other members of your family that you can. I think that's really, really beneficial. But we always try to be quite inclusive so that young families, people with young families can attend with a bit of a child care, or you're more than welcome to bring the kids and we'll try to figure something out to support that. You know, and sometimes the teenagers, we did a course not too long ago that a grandpa brought his young adult granddaughter and grandson. And there was just something so excellent about the knowledge that was being shared and the support, you know, for them to at some point in time take over the operation. It was really a great mix.
And you alluded to that earlier on, that one of the pieces that kind of makes the course special is that knowledge in the room. Maybe you can even share some examples of where you witnessed that magic and how it happened.
Oh, you know, there so often is. One example that I can give is that in this new area of cover cropping and crop rotation for those that are doing that, you know, there's some people that have tried it, especially up in your area. I've noticed there's more experience with it. And so they absolutely, the people that have experience with the different seed mixes and blends really, really like being able to share some of the do's and don'ts that have worked for them. I think another piece of that is that it's just human nature that we can't always see the forest for the trees. And in our own operations, we're so used to looking at them a certain way. But if we have another outside experienced group that we can brainstorm with, there's just a lot of great ideas that come out. And we try to set the stage for that so that we even further along, you know, if people are thinking about different challenges that they're having and they're comfortable with it, they can bring it to the group and we'll brainstorm solutions and ideas. Another one is on the area of livestock handling. Going back to that course that I was referring to earlier, there were some that had quite a bit of stock dog experience in there, and they were just really interested in sharing that with the other group. Another thing that we talked about earlier was fencing. You know, hey, what are some tips and tricks for fencing or water systems and those types of things? So there's just, another one that I think about is direct marketing, you know, which more and more producers are trying to do all the time. I'm really starting to come up with a lot of different examples, Nadia, but there is an amazing amount of them too.
Well, and it goes to show that every course is unique, just like every operation is unique, because it depends on who's in the room and how that knowledge mixture kind of makes it happen.
Yeah, for sure. And like I say, we do set the stage for it to be very participatory. And sometimes there's a little awkwardness at the beginning because some of us in agriculture aren't always used to operating that way, but we really try to set the stage for a comfortable learning environment where people feel free to ask questions and explore different ideas and possibilities and, you know, share some, like I say, trials and tribulations along the way.
I was just going to say, like, if somebody isn't too comfortable with sharing things, we're talking like a small group setting of fellow farmers and ranchers. And I would say with you as the leader in the room, Kelly, people will feel quite comfortable sharing what they would like to share about their operation.
I certainly hope so. Anyway, that's definitely one of our aims.
In your time, both on your own operation, you mentioned, you know, it wasn't always without challenges. And I'm sure when you were working with folks, you're also seeing like a lot of challenges that people are working with. But at the same time, you probably also have quite a few stories of how people were able to overcome those challenges and turn them around into maybe an opportunity that turned out quite well for them.
Well, I think that one of the pieces that certainly, and I seem to be on this subject a lot, but where we've seen people dig deep and change their financial situation. You know, if they've been ended up in a spot where perhaps there's more debt than they would like, or, you know, the enterprises aren't quite working for them. I think those have been some good examples. Another one is, you know, for, I think when we talk about this succession and transition to the next generation, we're going to sit down and we're going to look at all the assets of the operation, natural resources, financial, but also the human ones, and think maybe there's some skill sets and passions that are coming down the pipe with our next generation, and it's going to look different. So I think that's, you know, realizing that part of the process to create what that desired vision is going to look like, and the how-tos might be different. I think that would certainly be one. Also along the way, the whole grazing component, where people have really been able to put together a successful grazing, planned grazing, adaptive, whatever you want a term you want to use, for sure would be a couple of examples.
On your own operation, you would have worked on adjusting your grazing system for quite some time. And when somebody would walk onto your operation and see all that's there, it might be quite intimidating, right? And one might think, oh my goodness, how am I going to get from where I am to where these folks are at? Do you have maybe some wisdom on that road?
Well, I think, you know, an important aspect again is that it's really about progress, not perfection. You know, when we first started, we did a lot of fencing right off the get-go and put a lot of different paddocks in place so that we could better adapt the grazing. But we were learning as we went too, and trying to adjust recovery times and also making sure we're meeting the classes of the different livestock. As I mentioned, we run both cow-calf and yearling, so there's some different nutritional needs and behavioral characteristics of both of those. So trying to match all of that. Then, of course, you know, going through something like BSE and drought, you know, there's lots of drought management strategies so that we're intentional about stockpiling forage and adjusting what our livestock numbers will be. And I mean, it's been a moving target along the way. And there were certainly times in the drought when we didn't manage our grasses as optimally as we would have liked. And perhaps, you know, hindsight's 20/20, of course, you know, destocking could have been a choice. But along the way, you know, just trying to build up a resilient system that grows as much forage as possible from the solar energy that we can capture and convert in what's the best way for us.
And that's such an important thing, to just get started with something. And I've heard that from various grazers who now, when you go look at their places, it looks extremely intricate. There's many numbers of paddocks and they got all these watering systems set up and it looks overwhelming. But then when they share how they got there, they had many iterations along the way where they tried something and then maybe it worked and maybe it didn't, and they adjusted as they went. And it didn't start out that they sat down and penciled out exactly what they ended up with.
Again, the progress over perfection, you know, just start. And, you know, because having a plan, having a goal, and then thinking of different ways that you can perhaps manage your grazing differently, starting with some subdivisions of moving livestock and then taking them away so plants have time to recover. That's one of our basic tenets, is trying to minimize overgrazing and how can we best do that. You know, we talk about the 24-letter word, plan, monitor, control, and replan. You know, that's one of the things I say when I lead a planning session, being it on finances or grazing. You know, you can rest assured the actual plan is going to be different than the projected. But if we don't have a target that we're aiming for, then you're never going to be having a hope of even getting close to achieving it.
And then that's where it comes in, you alluded to it, that there's going to be some follow-up. Like, you're going to encourage folks to have a group that can connect down the road, because you're probably going to walk away from the course very inspired and full of ideas, and you're going to need something to help you keep that rocket fuel going over time, because you'll get busy, you'll get distracted. And so having that little bit of a group that it'll come out of will also help.
Yeah, that's actually been a significant component of holistic management, going back to when we first got involved, whether you want to call them a management group or a learning group. Now, one of the terms I see is peer-to-peer support learning, and that's exactly what it is. So you're trying to manage change and you need some outside ideas and support. And that's one really great way of doing it. And there's some that, you know, have been ongoing for 30 years. It's amazing. You know, some haven't always had that much longevity, but most people have really found it a valuable resource. And now, of course, when we have technology and Zoom meetings, so we don't have to drive necessarily to meet, but we have some really good connections. And in addition to those learning groups, you just get put in touch with a network of people that are always very open to sharing their ideas and encouragement and support along the way.
Do you have some feedback that you heard from people who attended the course? Maybe they were even reluctant to attend the course and then they did, and maybe they had some key insights that they were able to walk away with that you're able to share.
You know, I think as an important piece is that if after these 6 days together and you have a draft of your goal and have sat down and had some important conversations with family members or members on your team that you've never had before, we definitely hear those types of comments. Another one is, you know, if you can improve the financial situation by sitting down and analyzing your enterprises, analyzing your expenses, and putting a good projection, I mean, that can end up being a very valuable amount of time or expenditure of time that you've spent in your learning to come up and start doing some of those things, or making some big decisions. That can be another one too. When people have come to it knowing they've got some big decisions that are coming at them, and now they've got some tools with the decision-making framework so that they can institute a decision that might not be the perfect one, but it'll certainly be improved over the one they had done previously. And the same is if you can improve some of the production on your land and lower some inputs. You know, we hear that constantly these days and are experiencing it, that if there's some new ways that we can attack our production, that can really be beneficial. And, you know, people are saying, you know, often when we're at the end of a course, you know, I really didn't know what to expect when I came here, but I'm so thankful that we put the time in to come and really work on our operation and the business as well as the people.
Did you ever have situations where folks were maybe able to make some key decisions on succession, which often seems a very daunting topic?
For sure. Yeah. That's a whole nother area and one that I'm really interested and passionate and happy about doing a lot of work. But that some of the key components of the goal setting process just completely dovetail with the beginning of the succession planning, no matter what type of production practices you're in, but starting to look at what is that desired future we're trying to create, being inclusive, talking about some of the theories behind families and business, and just knowing that we've got to start having those conversations.
If somebody is mildly curious or just would like to learn more about holistic management and maybe read up a bit more about it, where do you usually send folks to go?
One of the good spots to go to is holisticmanagement.org on the internet. There's all kinds of resources there. And I think when you even just Google things, Google holistic management, an amazing amount of information will come up. Going to the Savory Institute website is another one. You can include my email, kelly.sidorek@gmail.com. I always invite questions and inquiries. And if people just have a little bit more detailed questions about this specifics of a course, they're more than welcome to reach out to me. I'd be happy to help with that.
Did we miss anything? Any key components you would like to share, whether it's holistic management or just other teachings that you offer?
You know, as you have heard, it's a topic that I'm pretty passionate about and I can talk a lot about it. But, you know, I think that in agriculture and life, probably for that matter, there's lots of challenges. And anything that we can do as individuals and teams to better prepare us to navigate through that. And, you know, we're so very fortunate in agriculture, all the resources that we have available to us, all the options and possibilities. And it's really important to me. I know that so often we get into the negative mindset and trying to switch it around to see that there is encouragement and opportunities along the way. And that is some other feedback that I now recall is that somebody had said once, you know, it's so nice now to see a light at the end of the tunnel and realize it's not an oncoming train anymore. So really trying to get people to help shift that mindset to all the different opportunities, like I say.
That's a very comforting analogy that it wasn't an oncoming train. And hearing your passion about the topic and about helping folks and having seen how it works for people, I think that's just very infectious too, and shows you that people can really make a difference in their operation.
Truly. And, you know, I didn't mention this. It's not a magic bullet. We kind of referred to this at the beginning. You're not going to get a checklist that says, do, you know, steps 1 to 10 and everything will be miraculous. It's not that like that at all. But there's a process, practices and principles. But again, I'll share my knowledge and encourage and support and facilitate. But really, at the end of the day, it's up to the individuals and their family to institute and adapt and take away what they most feel is relevant and applicable.
That is a very good reminder that at the end of the day, you can have all the magic tools that you want in your toolbox. There still has to be somebody go pick up the tool and apply it.
Absolutely. You know, after you brought back another memory, when we first got involved in holistic management and they used to have gatherings in New Mexico, actually, and there was a speaker there, I can't even remember what it was, but one of the quotes that he had shared is, if it is to be, it's up to me. And my dad got one of the somebody that we worked this with, who was a calligrapher, to make a poster of that hung on the wall.
On that note, if it is to be, it's up to you, dear listener. Maybe follow up with Kelly. And like Kelly mentioned, she's very open to connect with folks. Or you can also reach out to the Peace River Forage Association for more information. And of course, if you go to the website of either holisticmanagement.org or the Peace River Forage Association at peaceforage.bc.ca, you can find a lot more information as well. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Kelly. It was wonderful hearing a bit of insight from you, and I very much look forward to having you in the region.
Thanks, Nadia. I've had the fortune to spend some time up in the Peace Country. I always love coming up there to see the country, but also the people up there that I've had the opportunity to work with. I've really enjoyed. Yeah, it's a great spot.
Well, thanks again so much, Kelly.
Thanks.
Welcome back. As Kelly mentioned, you can visit holisticmanagement.org to get more information about holistic management and how it can benefit your operation. Next up will be a chat with long-term grain farmer Ermi and Barry Critcher. Join me in a kitchen table discussion on how farming has changed over the last 30 years in the Peace region, while some things are still the same today. If you found value in this or any other of our episodes in the Knowledge for Resilience podcast series, please share with your friend, family, the fellow on the other side of the fence, that guy at the coffee shop that you never can quite recall his name, and pass on the knowledge. Of course, you can find us on various podcast platforms, including Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and on the 4 Partner Association websites. Wherever you tune in from, make sure you like, subscribe, hit the bell, and follow us so you never miss another episode. Funding for this project was provided by the BC Hydro Peace Agricultural Compensation Fund. Thank you so much for making this project possible and supporting local agriculture in the Peace and beyond. For feedback or suggestions on other great Peace Region-related agricultural topics, please email us at coordinator@peaceforage.bc.ca. Until next time, stay informed, stay resilient.